I am at home. I tried to go to the studio, but half of the spots were still unshoveled.
Yeah.
So I couldn't park anywhere. This was after unshoveling my own car, so I had it. You know how I am.
Oh yeah, you just turned around and went home.
Yep.
I mean,
there wasn't anything I could do. It's not like I could jump out, leave my car in the street, and then shovel a spot out.
I suppose you could, but that'd be awkward.
Well, I had no shovel.
Oh, well, yeah. You could have just plowed your car into a spot.
Yeah, and just never get it back out.
Oh, well, wait for it to melt, you know. It'll melt eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
That's what public transportation's for.
I'm not going on public transportation until this is done.
Yeah, I saw some pictures posted from Chicago, man. You guys got dumped on.
Yeah. Most in a while. It was real annoying. Like, it was up to, the steps on our back porch.
Ooh.
And, there was over a foot on the top of my car. I had to, I didn't use the ice scraper. I had to get the shovel to get the snow off my car.
Bust out the big push broom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm still trying to figure out if it's lucky or not, but we were supposed to get up to a foot night before last. And something happened where there was a warmer layer of air just between the clouds that were putting the snow out and the freezing air down by the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it melted the snow, and then it passed into the freezing layer and turned it into ice. So we got an ice storm instead of a major snowstorm, you know? We got snow, and then we got all this ice, and then we got a little bit more snow. So, I guess it's lucky because, frankly, we've gotten enough snow, and I've shoveled enough snow that I don't know where to put the snow anymore.
Well, that's the issue right now, is that we've had so much come down that even if you came and plowed, where do you put it? I got my car out of the snow, but I almost couldn't get out of my parking lot because the entrance is so narrow due to the piled up edges.
Right, yeah. As is, when I'm shoveling snow now, I'm having to pick it up and carry it to put it someplace.
Right.
Because otherwise it tumbles back down the other piles and gets right back where it was, you know?
Yep.
And, oh man, I am so sore too, dude.
I was noticing that because I just did it. I just went out and I didn't even really shovel hard. I got some off my car. My arm, my hand, and my arm are in pain.
Yeah.
It's I have reached a point in my life where doing anything causes me pain.
I don't know how much you exercise, but I assume you spend a lot of time at your desk.
I don't exercise at all anymore. That's a problem right now.
Yeah. And I'm in the same boat. I got pains all across my chest muscles and stuff from the shoveling. And I'm man, this shouldn't hurt this bad. I'm not that old, you know?
In the summer, I was walking everywhere. Since it started getting cold, I haven't done anything. And I'm starting to feel it.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to have to bust out the exercise videos again.
Can you record yourself exercising to the exercising videos for show?
No.
I think you should. I think that would make people happy.
I'm going to say no, that's not possible. That is not going to happen. My problem's always been the same with workout routine things is I just stop doing them after a certain point. I'll be really good for a couple of weeks and I'll be on it every day. And then I'll miss one and then after that I forget or something and I just don't do them anymore. Until something happens that I get super motivated to do them again or something. Like an incident like this, where I'm sore from shoveling shit. And, I mean, to be fair, too, I had to shovel a lot. Like, I shoveled all my stuff. I went over to my parents' house, shoveled theirs. I shoveled in the neighbor's walk. You know, so, I mean, I shoveled a lot of crap. But still, yeah, I need to improve myself. And for everybody listening, welcome to week 802 of the Crankcast, where we talk about how frail we are.
I was looking like Kyle Strom and Dennis Hopeless had started doing a show, and it's video, but it reminds me of our old shows, and I'm like, oh, they're kind of doing what we used to do, except because we used to actually have content before it just became two old guys talking on the phone about the weather and guitar amplifiers.
Yeah, yeah. You mean they've actually got, like, things they talk about that they've got separated into sections?
Yeah.
And sort of a plan, as it were? We could do that again.
I'm not doing it. You do it.
You are the keeper of notes. I've got notebooks to attest to that.
I was the keeper of notes?
Well, you were the one that always wrote them down, yeah.
Oh, but you... Didn't you dictate them to me or something?
I think as I recall in the early days, we would sit around for a little bit before we actually recorded and talk about what we wanted to talk about.
Oh, no, soon.
And then you would write them down, and then I would use those as cues for when to switch topics and stuff. And, yeah, I mean, we could do that again. In fact, we could do it in video if you want. I'm glad you suggested it, Mike. All right, we will.
Nobody wants to see us.
We're going
to
start doing a video podcast.
Oh, fuck me.
We'll switch it to once a month. We'll do one once a month and post it on YouTube. And maybe cross-post it on our whatever. You know, I guess technically I could start uploading the Crankcast to YouTube. And just put pictures up.
I'm so ugly, though.
We'll have to sort this out. 2021 could be a new beginning for us, Mike.
Thank you.
I'm really glad you suggested all this.
I didn't suggest any of this. Mike, we haven't recorded that I didn't suggest this.
Mike, haven't you learned by now? This is all your idea. Yeah, well, we'll figure it out. What else is new?
Else does that? You know who does that? What else is new? That's Johnny Suntris that does that. Sunships.
Oh, yeah?
When he talks to you, he's like, what else is new? What else is new?
Well, me and him always had a lot in common.
You do? I'm surprised he hasn't called you or you talked to him. Who's calling me? It's bad that I recognize Walgreens' phone number.
Well, I get, or it's good. You can just ignore it.
For my old man medications.
I got my lumbago whacking up.
What is lumbago?
I have no idea. It's just something I used to see in TV shows. I'm not even sure it's a real problem. It might be like a made-for-TV problem.
You're a made-for-TV problem.
Yeah, I haven't talked to John in a while. We used to, like, once or twice a year, we'd have a phone call that would last, like, 2-3 hours.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And you know how I am. I just don't like talking on the phone, so I'm sure he thinks I hate him. Everybody thinks I hate them.
I think you hate them.
Like, well, people that listen to this show might think that I hate you, but we both know that's not true, right?
Yeah?
Answer me!
Yes?
You son of a...
It's the, do they, don't they that makes this interesting.
No, we're not. We hate each other.
I'm terrible at keeping up with people. I mean, that's one of the reasons I keep doing this show, is so I can keep up with people. You know?
Oh, really?
Partly because I get real focused on, like, my day-to-day and what I'm doing, and I forget to call people for a long time. And then when you don't talk to somebody for a long time, it gets awkward. like to recontact them again just out of the blue. And then the longer it takes, the more awkward it gets, so the more, like, you know, inevitable it'll be that you will never talk to them again. At least that's, I mean, that's what it seems like to me. And that's caused me to lose track of people in my life. So, I like the contact. That's all. This is more of a lifeline for me than an actual show of content. But we'll bring the content back this year. Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, my God. We're gonna and next week we will have forgotten we even had this conversation.
Oh, I'm making notes now.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
I mean, I'm not making notes for content. I'm making notes to myself to make notes for content.
Well, you're just as bad as me. I don't have to worry about this.
Oh, no, you don't have to worry about it. You're just going to do it. So, you know, it'll all be fine.
It's not going to be fine. I hate this already.
It'll all work out. You used to like it.
I used to like it, but...
You liked it when we had content, when we had interesting things to talk about.
I liked it when you used to do things with the audio. I like the fading in and out and the clips and things. That made me laugh.
Yeah, I mean, clips maybe. I don't know about doing music bits again, because that's going to involve a lot of, like... Unless I use nothing but my own music.
Which, yeah. I mean, that's a reason to do your own music, isn't it?
I guess. But, I mean, you know, that's, like, seems awful narcissistic.
No. Why do you say that?
Like, just to use nothing but my... I mean, and the reason I'm saying nothing but my own music is because otherwise I'd have to search for things that don't require me to have a license. Because I'm not going to pay for the show, you know? I mean, that's just silly. That's kooky talk. But, So yeah, I mean, you know, the only reason I had music clips really, well, some of it was just to show things I was interested in, but mostly it was just to break up the segments, because we usually had a short beginning segment, a long middle segment, and then a short end segment. And the music clips, like, nicely broke those up, so you know when a segment was at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I mean, I could return to the format. We could start recording stupid commercials or something.
Stupid commercials.
Yeah, where we just make up fake commercials for shit.
What? Why?
Well, you know, just a sort of a comedy break in between bits.
This is going too far, man.
It'll be fun, man. We can, we can actually start calling people again. Having people on. I thought about checking in on McKeever to see how he's doing, because...
Yeah.
Texas ain't in great shape right now.
Probably should.
And we haven't talked to him in a couple of years, according to my Skype logs.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things that usually it's best to clear beforehand, and I didn't think about it until I logged on today. But, yeah. Man, so... Texas froze.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking Texas froze. Like, for whatever reason, I know that Texas gets some cold and snow here and there anyway, like normally.
Do they?
Parts of it do, yeah. But, in my head, I always just think of Texas as being not quite desert, but warm all the time. I guess. Like Florida, you know?
Yeah. I think it usually is, isn't it?
I mean, of course, that's how I think of Atlanta, too. And Atlanta gets snow now and then. But in my head, it's always warm there. And so hearing that, you know, there are mass power outages and people freezing and, you know, pipes bursting and stuff. And I'm like, Texas? That don't make no sense.
That don't make no sense.
And it's, you know, I mean, it's... It's not the people's fault down there. They, you know, they don't normally have to deal with this shit. Like,
it's obviously windmill's fault.
Oh, the windmill's caused it, actually. I mean, they've been plotting this for a while.
Yep.
It's kind of like a, I don't know what you call it, resistance? Yeah, I guess maybe.
Wind resistance?
Yeah, you know, I mean, This isn't no breezy affair. I mean,
good stuff. Good stuff.
But yeah, it's just, I mean, I remember, like, when I lived in Florida briefly when I was a kid, we had a...
Bragging.
What?
Stop bragging.
How is that bragging? I'm bold to admit I lived in Florida.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for you.
Actually, I don't mean that anybody from Florida who's listening to this.
I do.
Mike, on the other hand, hates Florida.
I really don't like Florida.
I mean, he despises Florida.
I have spent a long time in Florida, and I don't like it. I haven't lived there, but I don't like it.
Yeah,
I saw a Batman movie there. That's the only good memory I have of Florida.
Didn't you went to a sex dungeon there or something, right?
What? No! That was Atlanta.
Oh.
And it wasn't a sex dungeon. It was a Holiday Inn that was made up to feel like a sex dungeon.
Oh, same thing.
And it wasn't my fault. It was Bob Burden.
And that was Atlanta? I kept thinking it was Orlando or something.
No, it was Atlanta on Easter Sunday.
You went to a sex dungeon on Easter?
Dude, a lot of people did.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, not a lot of people care about Easter, right? At least not those people.
Well, I mean, that was pretty much the only thing that was happening.
Yeah, and I guess if you're not, like, near home, because... It's not even like the religious part of the holiday that I care about. It's the eating my mama's food on Easter, you know?
That's all you care about is eating your mama's food.
And she makes good holiday meals.
Mm.
I mean, my dad...
I, you know what? Nobody's ever asked me to try it, so...
Well, all right then.
I won't say anything. Somebody doesn't invite me.
Well, you're kind of far away. I could send you some frozen stuff or something, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, a bit of ham, some taters.
I don't want your taters. I want your secondhand mailed off taters.
You want some beans?
I don't want no beans either. I'm definitely not going to eat the beans.
I mean, you know, my dad's got a few dishes he's really good at, too. Like meatloaf.
What?
Meatloaf, man.
Yelling at me from the front step.
No. What?
Who are you?
He's looking good on the front step these days.
Oh, poor daddy.
Yeah, well, you know, post-polio and all that.
How's he doing, other than that?
Mostly all right. He had that bad fall last year, but he's recovered from that. And, you know, doing all right.
Does your dad have any hobbies?
I know, and I wish he did, because it would make it a lot easier to buy him stuff for, like, birthdays and holidays.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does he like? What does he do? I mean, he's not working, right?
No, he retired.
What's he doing?
He pretty much shuffles between the living room and watching TV, and then the office room and the computer.
So he's just on a computer all day?
Computer and TV.
So what's he doing? Is he on like MAGA forums or anything like that?
I don't really. I mean, that would be more his leaning than, you know, comic book sites or something. But yeah, I don't really know exactly. I mean, he looks at, like, you know, the community stuff, Next Door and stuff like that. You know.
So is he a busybody then?
He doesn't not post.
Know anybody's shit and reporting them.
No, he doesn't post. He just reads stuff. Yeah.
Well, he's a lurker.
Yeah, yeah. Better a lurker than a troll.
Definitely better than a troll. But we don't know that he's not a troll.
He might, you know, I mean, he might have the troll potential. Patrol troll, if you were.
We've all trolled. We've all dipped our toes in the troll pool.
Actually, I don't think I've ever trolled.
Yeah, you've said something to somebody.
I've slapped a few people down when I was a moderator, but I didn't troll them. But, you know, I mean, it's part of a mod's job to slap people down every now and then. I assume. But, yeah, I really don't know. I mean, like, he used to, when he got out more, he had things that he did, you know. Go to the gun range or whatever, you know, stuff like that. And it used to be easier to buy stuff for him because he had more of a thing going on outside the house, I guess you'd say.
like guns?
Yeah, well, guns, reenacting, you know.
Oh, that's right. So he doesn't get to do that anymore. That sucks.
Yeah, as his legs started failing him, he had to, give up the reenacting stuff because he just couldn't keep up with it anymore.
Mm.
So, yeah. I don't know. Like I said, though, yeah, it makes it. I had to quit buying him tech stuff because I would buy him something and then it would eventually just sit on a shelf or go in a drawer and he would never touch it again.
You know, I bought a Senseo, like a coffee pod thing for my in-laws.
Yeah.
I didn't realize what a terrible idea that was because they had still had the plug-in pot, not like a coffee maker.
Like the percolator?
Yeah.
I like percolators. I miss those.
And they're like, and I'm like, what are you doing, Mike? They're never going to. And they never did.
Right. Yeah.
I think they brought it out when we would visit. And I was like, oh, man, that's even worse.
That's the ugly sweater that you gave them. Yeah, so now when I get him stuff, I just try to get him stuff that I think will be either useful or at least, maybe give him a chuckle or something, like... I think, part of Christmas, I gave him, tobacco, because I knew he would use it. And I gave him some warm socks, stuff like that, But, yeah, it gets really tough when somebody's hard to buy for. So, but, anyway. Oh, I've been talking about, when I lived in Florida, before we started talking about how much you hated Florida,
because I was talking about how much I like your family.
Florida. Anyway, when I lived there in the winter, it got cold enough that we actually did get some snow. It wasn't even like an inch or anything, it was basically a dusting, but it was so unusual there that they actually closed schools and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that happens in the South.
And I'm like, I'm coming from, we moved from Ohio down here, and I'm like, this is like barely frost.
That's the shitty thing about right now, I bet, in Memphis, is like, usually when this happens, you get the snow day, and it's like, everybody's at home already, so you don't get a snow day, so suck it.
I saw somebody arguing for snow days, even with people being at home, because you still need the time to go, shovel the fucking snow and shit, Like, if you carry on like everything's just normal and nothing's going on outside, then you don't get any of that work done, And I can agree with that, because, I had to take, basically a snow day yesterday to clear all that crap out. I had to take a snow day, last week to clear crap out. And if I wouldn't have done it, it would have just piled up and been a disaster. So, yeah, I'm in favor of snow days.
You should whine some more.
Okay. It's funny, though. My friend Brian, he, quit his last job and started working at the same place my mom works.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a place that they're called the Cloverneck Center for the Blind.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of what they do is, from on the business side of it, is translate stuff into Braille and whatnot, magazine articles and things like that, books, whatever. They used to do books. I think books are mostly put out in Braille by the publishers now or something. I don't know, but anyway. So they also have a printing department there where they actually print out Braille stuff, menus, magazines, on the brown paper with the dots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he just got a job there, and he was supposed to start this week, and they were closed, the first 2 days of the week, so he had to miss his first 2 days of work.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, sorry, man, that's really shitty timing.
Does your mom know how to read Braille?
Yeah, she knows how to write it, too.
Mm. I'm sure I've already asked this before.
It's funny, when I went over there yesterday, she was working from home, because, like I said, they closed the place. So she was on the phone with one of her coworkers, and they were going through an article. And it was just strange to overhear it, because she's talking in, M-something-something, just giving off all this jargon to... formatting jargon.
Oh, weird. That's a weird thing to, get your head around, trying to understand that.
Yeah, because,
understand somebody describing Braille.
Because they were talking about, they must have been doing an article from a music magazine, because they're talking about, I think, Run the Jewels. Is ELP in Run the Jewels?
Who's ELP?
Another musician, but I can't remember if he's part of that. Anyway, but she was like, you know, as an example, I'm saying that, like, she was saying, like, ELM-P, like, you know, she would be talking like that.
Gotcha.
And then, like, also giving, like, I don't remember any of the words, but they were just cues for formatting, so that the, when they input this stuff in, it would come out correctly and format it Braille, you know? And I'm just like, that's really weird. It's like I'm hearing somebody speak binary code or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. So, enough of the weather. Let's talk about something else. I don't know what. So I have recently re-listened, like I haven't heard Alice in Chains Facelift in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because I heard it so damn much between 1990 and probably like 96, you know?
Yeah, they kind of, they ran that into the ground. I'm not a huge Alice in Chains fan, and I think it's because I heard it whether I wanted to or not.
That was definitely, yeah, it got pushed hard. And every subsequent album by him, you know. At least up until, like I said, 96, 97 probably. And that's the thing, so, yeah, I haven't heard it in a while, and in my head, like, I remembered it, and I remembered liking it. And I remembered at the time thinking, wow, this is a really cool dark album. You know?
Yeah. They're dark, aren't they?
Say what?
They're all kind of dark, aren't they? I mean, they're kind of known for that.
Yeah, but from what I remember, their later albums, like even their second album, it got more polished, produced, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think of produced as being a slang.
No, I'm trying to think of the right way to express this. It wasn't sort of as, I don't know, like the first album was pretty dark and visceral, like sonically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Post the success of, like, Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and stuff like that, around when they were putting out their second album, it became more homogenized, I guess, with the rest of the scene.
Okay.
Might be a good word for it. Because, okay, you got to figure, like, Facelift came out in 1990. This was this was, like, Nirvana's Bleach era. Like, Nevermind wasn't even there yet. And Pearl Jam, while they were a band, you know, I mean, they didn't hit until 91 either. So this is pre the term grunge being coined, right? And like I was saying in my Instagram post, it's a metal album, you know? It's got like maybe some hard rock leanings.
Yeah, they were, them and STP both were on Headbanger's Ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's got like Sabbath influence all over it. And
yeah.
Even where it gets into, like, more hard rocky stuff, or there's, like, one track on towards the end that's kind of funky,
mm-hmm.
It's still, you know, I mean, it's still a metal album, because at that point, metal was, you know, flirting with funk, too, so.
Stop flirting with the funk.
But, I mean, it's...
Get away from the funk.
You can't escape the funk, man.
Keep one hand length away from the funk.
Mind the funk. But it
for Jesus in between you and the funk.
But yeah, and overall, it's a really heavy, it's a really heavy album with lyrics that were really suitable for radio. That's the other thing, is that their subsequent albums, I feel like they were a lot more radio friendly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm
hearing you. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
So, and again, you know, I got to attribute that to probably label pressure partially, because, you know, they were lumping them in with all the other bands that they were calling grunge and trying to push on the radio, you know.
You know, you wouldn't call them grunge. You wouldn't say that they were sort of also part of that sound coming out of Seattle. That's unfair to say, because there was a lot of different sounds coming out of Seattle.
Yeah, and well, that and the fact that...
I mean, there's a reason why it's called grunge, right? It's...
Well, that and the fact that everything they lumped into grunge wasn't from Seattle. I mean, Stone Temple Pilots were from south of there somewhere?
Well, I don't know.
Arizona or something like that?
Arizona?
I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure they weren't from, you know, the Seattle area.
No, you're probably right. They're probably from like California.
And I mean, there were other bands like that too that weren't from Seattle. I mean, grunge wasn't a thing. There wasn't like an actual grunge movement. Grunge was a label created by like, you know, execs and fashion designers and stuff to like promote a bunch of sales for stuff.
Okay, damn.
But well, the only reason I'm bringing that up is that like it wasn't like
such a pain.
It wasn't like they all had a shared like ethos or something, you know? Like
well, they had meetings. Everybody knows about that.
Well, they had cards and stuff. Yeah. But
they were like the Illuminati.
Oh, kind of. I wonder if there's ever been a porn called Illuminati. You think? No? Don't care much for that one?
No.
All right, well, we'll move on. But yeah, so, and regardless, I mean, this album wasn't like, because, all right, like, looking at their, I guess their contemporaries in 1990, or what who would become lumped in with them in the grunge label, like, Soundgarden was pretty punky at that point. I mean, yeah, I'd call them pretty punky. They were on the I think, Loud Love album right around them. And then, you know, Nirvana's Bleach was more punk than metal or anything.
Totally agree.
I'm not really sure
it's, aside from a couple of tracks, most of their, Nevermind has a lot of poppy sounds on it, but they've always had a very, ain't no love ballads.
Well, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, yeah, the difference between Bleach and Nevermind's pretty big. I mean, again, I'm going to say they were a lot more produced, a lot more polished on Nevermind.
Yes. That's the producer, right? Who was that?
That was I'm blanking out. Somebody whose name you probably know.
Was it the guy from Garbage? That guy?
Butch Vig?
Yeah.
That sounds right. I'm looking it up. It was, Butch Vig.
That's why.
And, and that was when they made a move to a major label era on DGC. And that was also, that album's where Dave Grohl joined them, so.
Yeah.
And it's, while it still has that kind of raw, like garage rock punky kind of thing to it, it is much more, well, it's like garage rock, it's kind of poppy. It's in a pop format, you know? So.
You're poppy.
But, just to, you know, like I was trying to contrast or compare and contrast. So, you know, the other kind of grungy bands that were going on, cause I mean, you know, the stuff that showed up later, like Mudhoney and stuff like that, Screaming Trees, uh-huh. I guess, which, I mean, they were already around, like Mudhoney, by the time they became part of the grunge thing. I mean, that was like their third or fourth album, I think. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mudhoney been around. They'd been around enough to be called alternative.
Right, yeah. And, you know, like Screaming Trees, I think, you know, had an album or two out before they were big or whatever for a minute. And I don't even know. See, then I'm not really sure whether the grunge thing tails off into alternative. Because, like, Blind Melon.
I mean, isn't like, grunge, metal, and alternative put together?
I guess, but again, that's the thing that, like, because
I mean, it's an oversimplification, but it's the only way. I mean, descriptors can be simple sometimes.
Well, it's just, I guess you'd have to say something like that to kind of make all the bands fit, because
that's what I'm saying.
STP didn't sound like Alice in Chains. Alice in Chains didn't sound like Nirvana. Nirvana didn't sound like Pearl Jam.
STP sounded more like Alice in Chains than any of the other ones.
Yeah, but like you know that. None of them sounded like Mudhoney, and none of them sounded like Screaming Trees or whatever, you know?
Yeah, Screaming Trees was very poppy, if I remember correctly.
They were a little more kind of like a Southern rock tinge to them.
And Mudhoney was just, they had some songs that was hard to listen to.
Mudhoney was like sort of a punky, noisy stuff.
Yeah, they were just noisy. They were...
Yeah.
Hey, listen to me put my guitar up next to my amplifier for half an hour.
Well, sure. I mean, there was that too. But
like, no. Oh.
But yeah,
flashbacks to that church concert. I told you about that, right? I had to have said it on the show, right?
What's that?
I went to a church concert in Memphis back in, I can't even remember when it was, but Peter Copes, who plays guitar, well, like lead guitar for him a lot, he was right, we were like right up at the stage, and I was like, he was right in front of us. And I swear, he must have been like, why are these fucking dudes here instead of some hot girl? Because at the end of the show, he just took his guitar off and put it right in, like set it down right in front of the amplifier, which was right next to my head. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is the worst pain ever. He just walked off the stage.
Yeah, thinking back on it, you probably should have wore earplugs, right?
That was right around the time that I probably started.
Yeah, I wish I would have wore earplugs to more shows when I was younger. No. I wouldn't have this constant ringing in my ear anymore.
I don't have that, but I wasn't exposed to that loud a sound all the time. It was every once in a while.
Yeah, just between concerts and band practices. And I mean, it's not terrible. I can tune it out normally because I'm used to it, but it's one of those things I hear when I go to sleep and stuff, or when it's like really quiet. But anyway, yeah. But I'm just trying to, I don't really know like where grunge ended and just alternative began. Because, I mean, again, like I was saying, like, you wouldn't call Blind Melon grunge, would you?
No.
Or, like, I mean, it was Hole grunge?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's one of those things. Was Hole grunge just because, you know, Courtney Love was with Kurt Cobain? Because their music to me just sounded more like, you know, alt-rock or something.
Well, since, as you described it, grunge is a marketing thing, and right. I would say Hole is the epitome of a band created for marketing.
Like, why don't I just look up, let's see.
Created for marketing, but definitely leaned into that skid. Wholeheartedly.
I'm checking what Wikipedia has as far as a list of grunge bands go. Just to kind of see what, I guess, you know. Like, Collective Soul. Was that grunge?
I guess they definitely used, like, there are, like, hallmarks to, like, the sound, like the drop D and the kind of, you know, dirty droning kind of rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah.
They definitely fall. Yeah, and the voice, the almost kind of grunge accent, if you would.
Yeah.
But they're from like fucking Atlanta.
They're from Stockbridge, actually. Stockbridge, Georgia.
Yeah, I'm from Georgia.
But like I don't know. I guess, but you know, Smashing Pumpkins. That's one of those iffy ones to me.
Yeah, they, I mean,
because like you look at Gish, which was 1991, I think, and that was more of just sort of like a
psychedelic
stuff.
It's like grunge gets put on anything that you know would have been called metal 4 years earlier.
Yeah, well, like L7, they've got L7 listed as a grunge band.
Yeah,
I don't really think L7 was a grunge band.
Okay,
they were, you know, kind of more post-punky, but
I don't, you know, when you get into the only people that care about the specifics of these labels are people that take it too seriously, I think.
Well, no, I mean, these, whatever, just saying something's post-punk is a broad enough definition to cover some stuff that just isn't.
I don't even know what it means. What is post-punk?
Well, let's give you a formal definition.
Isn't all music after the 70s post-punk?
Well, no, that would just be post-70s. okay, so let's see.
So you're saying punk music after punk music, quote unquote, died is called punk, post-punk?
Well, let's see. Okay, I'm going to paraphrase what Wikipedia is calling it.
This is why I don't like the labels, because I don't usually understand what they mean.
Well, again, most of these labels are pretty broad. They encompass bands that you wouldn't necessarily say sound like each other, much like grunge, you know?
Yeah.
Except post-punk wasn't like necessarily a marketing label. It was just something that came about later, like to kind of collectively refer to bands that had these similar characteristics. which in this case were, these were bands that were coming out in the late 70s that were, you know, transitioning from the kind of raw simplicity of punk rock, and then, but adding into it, like, avant-garde kind of sensibilities, like non-rock stuff, so they would throw in, like, jazz or funk, you know, electronic stuff, but they were still keeping that DIY ethic, and the kind of raw, like, again, the raw simplicity of punk, you know?
Just so, confusing to me.
And, like, bands that would fall into the early post-punk stuff would be, like, Susie and the Banshees, Wire, Public Image Limited, Cabaret Voltaire magazine.
People call Susie and the Banshees punk.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they've got punk elements, sure.
But it's just confusing.
For the sake of categorization, you know, yeah, they could be called post-punk. I mean, same thing like Joy Division is post-punk, but Joy Division doesn't sound like Wire or Public Image Limited, you know?
It confuses old man Mike. I've never much cared for it. We've had this discussion before because I don't like it when you or Dove, like, say things like, what, butt rock or dad rock or what, because I don't know what that means. And half the time it all means the same thing.
Yeah, I mean.
It's like, what the fuck?
I don't know.
People are trying to come up with derogatory terms for music they don't like.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't know if butt rock is necessarily so much as a classification as an insult.
You know? I was like, fuck y'all.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're calling something butt rock, you're just saying you don't like it, you know?
Yeah. So that's why it bugs me when Sean's, like, coming at me with that. And I'm like, fuck you, I like that.
And I tend to use...
Ryan Brown makes fun of Michael McDonald singing. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of funny. It's also awesome.
Okay, we're good. I mean, I like these things because, to me, they're just categories of classification, you know?
Yeah.
It's like splitting down the differences between the kinds of owls there are, or something, you know?
Owl rock? Are you talking about owl rock? Because I'm not into owl rock.
Well, you like Rush. They were owl rock.
Yeah, they were. They were literally owl rock. Holy shit.
But, I mean, and, you know, and I'm not saying that, like, I'm a master of the category labels, because I get confused on stuff. Like, I don't think Rush is prog, personally. But they get labeled as prog.
How can you not say that?
The only reason I think they get... I mean, they had some proggy stuff early on.
Half their career is proggy stuff.
Oh, 2112 and A Bit of Caress of Steel. That's like proggy.
What? Are you kidding me?
I guess maybe some stuff on Hemispheres.
Some stuff.
But, I mean, you know, there's no prog... I don't see any prog in Moving Pictures. Or post, you know, post-moving pictures. I don't really see any prog in there, to me.
I hear you with that. I hear you with that. There are other influences that are stronger.
And before 2112, their first couple albums, I don't think were prog. But again, this is just to me. I don't know, because I'm not... prog is another one of those labels that really does encompass a lot of different sounds.
Well, that's probably why when you talk about prog music, Rush isn't always at the top of the list.
Yeah. Like, I can see...
Waitman and like and Yes and stuff and
yeah and
early Genesis.
Well, like King Crimson, you know, I can see King Crimson being called prog, like, and I can see early Genesis being called prog, and I can see Yes being called prog.
You would have like I got a prog random prog playlist come up on my iTunes, and it was interesting because, like you, I have my own opinion of what prog is, and Jim Terry has another, and he likes the weird stuff.
Like Marillion? Or is that not even weird enough?
I don't know. That doesn't come to mind, but he does like stuff like Zappa.
Oh, okay. And like, I don't know if I'd call Zappa prog.
Oh, what? Really? That's kind of the telltale, ingredient of prog, isn't it? Is experimenting musically?
That's
all his career was.
For one thing, I don't think prog was all that experimenting. Like, they were pretty planned out, you know? They were just meticulous and long passages of stuff. But
a description of Frank Zappa.
Well, I mean, that's also a description of the Grateful Dead.
You don't think that jam bands like that are just, like, constantly nothing but improvisation? It's like rock jazz.
Right. I mean, but what I'm saying is like, to me, Zappa was more of a form of weird jazz.
I hate all this.
Well, I don't know. But for me, I like classifications of things.
Simpler, not harder.
Because if I just said it's music, that doesn't tell you anything, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you don't quite get what I'm saying, if I say it's post-punk, you know it's not going to be, you know, dance pop. Right?
How would you describe King's X?
Well, they were part metal. They were a little into proggy.
Mm-hmm.
Pop, because they had really nice harmonies and things. And they structured a lot of stuff in a loose pop format.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as a main category, they probably fell in with the metal people at the time.
At the time, they definitely did. They were on Headbangers Ball.
So I'm going to say they're probably prog metal.
Prog metal is a good way to put it. Prog metal if the Beatles were a prog metal band.
I mean, and prog metal is that is a category, but.
I hate it. I hate everything.
Well, it's sort of like the difference between like emo and screamo, you know?
God damn it. I didn't know screamo was a thing.
Or, you know, I mean, the difference between emo and hardcore. Like, if you weren't really familiar with either one of them, they'd sound the same to you, you know?
I guess. You're telling me that, so I'm...
But while they had crossover, emo and hardcore had different crowds, by and large, with different sort of ethics, or, you know, kind of group concerns, or whatever.
Group concerns?
Well, they had meetings, you know.
We have some things we'd like to discuss.
Right.
At the Screamo convention.
I mean,
Screamo sounds like a clown in a horror movie.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the difference between emo and Screamo is. I think there's just more screaming in it.
Watch out, it's Screamo! It's Screamo the clown!
But, yeah. I don't know, I mean, but... All this, you know, all these are just words. They're just things that help people identify stuff. You know?
And as we've often asked, what are words for?
Ask a librarian. Librarians understand categorization, buddy. They know how to drill down and tell you the difference between, you know, minute things.
Librarians, the most fun of people.
Oh, actually, they're pretty swinging, yeah.
What the fuck? How do you know so many librarians?
I've had to access a lot of libraries to keep ahead of the bears.
Why you hang? Oh, what? What? What?
Knowledge is your friend.
What did you just say?
Knowledge is power, Mike.
So you had like a Buffy-esque Scooby Club that would hang out in the library?
Well, no, not so much like that. I mean, you know, it was just more like I had to like really, you know, bone up on certain aspects of bearocracy.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah.
That's a t-shirt.
Just bear with me here, right?
Remember when we used to make t-shirts in our mind that we'd never actually make?
Yeah, I wish we could have wrote more of those down so we'd remember what they were so we could make them eventually. Like in 2021 when we do our flip.
Oh, I forgot about your flip idea. I don't understand. I still don't remember what that was. Oh, were you saying we were going to re-record? Or something?
No, I said we were going to go back to a format.
Oh, I thought you meant that we were going to like redo the old episodes or something.
Oh, I forgot I had that idea. There's an idea. We should do that for anniversary episodes.
No, we're not doing that.
Just re-record episodes.
I'm angry.
Anyway, no, like, you know, I don't know. I don't even know anymore, Mike. Oh, so I finished the Les Bader books.
Oh, good.
Well, the Les Bader Born books. And then I started, there's one new book with a new writer now. And I think there's another one supposed to be coming out this year, but I'm not going to read them anymore. But I did read the first of the new Born books by the new writer, and they rebooted it.
Oh,
yeah. 15 books in, and they reboot it, like, entirely.
I figure, I mean, you got to think that they assume that most of their audience is going to come from the movies, and the movies would be fine with, a movie audience would be fine with a reboot, right?
Probably. And honestly, this new book is more like the movie Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that they did it, I guess. But it's just weird because it's kind of, there are elements of it that are kind of a rehash going all the way back to like the first book.
Uh-huh.
And it's just weird how, it's strange how after having built up a universe of stuff going on, even though, you know, they ignored it from book to book anyway.
Uh-huh.
But there were still some common themes that you could like, when they would mention something, you'd know what they were talking about in the past, if you'd read the past books, to all of a sudden get a reboot where they're talking about things that, from my mind, having read all these other ones, never happened. You know? So it's a little jarring, I guess. And it, I mean, it wasn't a terrible action book as far as that stuff goes. But it was like, it was just weird, and I don't think I'm going to keep reading it because I don't need to. You know, I've pretty much seen just about everything Bourne can do, and at this point, anything else is just going to be a rehash of it all. So, yeah. Me and Bourne, we're done.
Finally.
I would consider watching new movies, but I don't think I need to read any more of it. Oh, and I started reading the, you know, I told you I picked up some of those Epic collections. I was going to do my reread of the whole New Defenders run.
Mm-hmm.
So I started on that. I read, this is the weird thing. Okay, New Defenders, I'm trying to think. The title change was issue 125, I think, of Defenders. So 125 is when it was officially the New Defenders, I think.
Okay.
But the things leading up to the title change were happening like several issues before that. So I'm trying to figure out where it was, because when I first started reading it, I didn't read it until, I'm trying to think, when did New Defenders flip? At the end of 84, I think, or the beginning of 85, maybe? Somewhere around there. And I didn't read it until a few issues of the New Defenders were out, and I found it in a, it was when I lived in Florida, actually. There was a comic spot in a flea market, and he had like a permanent corner or whatever. And he used to sell off, like sometimes you could even get the previous week's comic, like half off, you know, something like that. So it was really cool for a kid that didn't have a lot of cash. You know, you go in there and be able to pick up your comics pretty cheap. And, but he had back issues too. And I was, when I went in, I found, I don't remember exactly which issue I started on with New Defenders, but I picked up whatever was the, probably the closest to current issue. And I was like, this is cool. And I started reading it and I liked it. And so I went back and got the previous issues up until, I think I started with 124 when I went back and got the older ones, because 124 shows like pretty much that's the changeover between the old Defenders and the New Defenders, I think, if I remember right. But anyway, so I don't really know where to start reading to get like the whole comprehensive New Defenders thing this time around. I could just start where I had the issues of last time, but I wanted to kind of backtrack a little bit. But I didn't want to go all the way back into reading, you know, 2 years worth of Defender stuff, because I really didn't care about the Defenders. I didn't care about the Hulk teaming up with Doctor Strange, with Namor, and who was the fourth Defender originally?
Hulk?
It was Hulk, Strange, Namor. There was a fourth one, though, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was.
I don't remember who it was. And, I mean, that team evolved. Because, I mean, they were technically, the Defenders weren't really a team. They were just, they would get together now and then and do shit. Which is weird. They didn't have, like, it wasn't like the Avengers, where they had, like, a hierarchy or a leader or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you can't tell any of those people to do anything.
Yeah, pretty much. And I never really understood why Strange would need to team up with anybody anyway. I mean, he's the fucking Sorcerer Supreme, dude.
Well, a lot of those guys are super, super OP.
And I never really understood Namor all that well. Like, to me, even though I know he's done major stuff, he was always just a minor character to me. And maybe, you know, maybe he's more than that. I don't know. I just never really got into Namor very much. But, so, you know, and the team evolved, like, you know, later on they got Valkyrie and, Patsy Walker, Hellcat.
Okay, the original one was basically just Hulk, Namor, and Doctor Strange, but then Silver Surfer came into it.
Why would Silver Surfer need to be on a team with anybody?
Oh, man!
That's just so weird, man. But again, they weren't really a team. They would get together for certain crisis events, like, for whatever reason. What was Patsy Walker's original deal? Like,
she's an old Marvel character. She was like a model. And she was in romance comics, and then they brought her in and made her Hellcat.
What was her Hellcat, like, did she have powers or was she just like a Batman?
I don't think she had powers. I think she was a Batman. And if she did, she had like heightened agility and stuff, cat-like stuff.
I'm scanning her history real quick, because I wanted to see what, like, I guess she was introduced into, it was the Amazing Adventures number 13. It was a Beast feature, and she was introduced in that Beast feature as a superhero, is what this says. But I'm trying to figure out what she, oh, okay, so she joined the Defenders in 77 with issue 44. Oh, and Damon Hellstrom was with him, too. So, and Valkyrie, and then eventually Gargoyle joined him, and Beast joined him. Not in that order. I think Beast was there first. But, so, yeah, and I guess other people would come and go or something like that. I don't know. But the reason I was asking about Hellcat was because by the end of the Defenders run, she had, like, psychic powers and stuff.
What?
And I'm like, Beast even makes a point of asking her a question, like, so, what's with the psychic power stuff? I know they didn't come with a cat costume. You know, kind of thing. So, but anyway, yeah, so I'm starting right around 121, I think is what it was. It was, where Damon Hellstrom loses his, what, Dark Soul, I think is what they call it. So the pentagram disappears from his chest and,
oh no, I've been disowned by daddy.
They
I am no longer the son of Satan.
A guy called an old Fantastic Four villain called the Miracle Man shows up.
The Miracle Man.
And he steals the Dark Soul from Hellstrom.
You stole my Dark Soul! What do that mean? I need my Dark Soul.
And then
Dark Soul back.
Then the good guys show up and they like,
also, you know that voice I'm doing?
Yeah.
Like the Venom voice that I do. Mm-hmm. That everybody in our studio does whenever they're making fun, like when they're doing the voice of some character that's supposed to be awesome. That is literally the voice that they gave Bigfoot in that Bigfoot versus the Illuminati movie I watched.
Oh, hell.
It's like, hey guys, look at me, I'm Bigfoot.
I hate that dude.
I hate that dude.
But, what was I going to say? Something about the, oh.
My name's Bigfoot.
So somehow they tricked the Dark Soul out of Mr. Miracle, or Miracle Man? Miracle Man.
Got busted.
And they put it into a snake.
Why'd you put my Dark Soul into a snake?
Oh, my Dark Soul.
Why'd you do that? Why'd you put my Dark Soul in a snake?
How did you?
This snake didn't do nothing to you.
Okay, before you ever saw Beast in a cartoon or in live action stuff, how did you picture him talking? Do you remember?
I always thought he would sound like a gorilla man.
Really? Like, I mean, but like regional. Did he have an accent or anything?
No, I never heard of him with an accent. You know what? It didn't occur to me until, even though I would read X-Men and they would like give Banshee a phonetic accent. Uh-huh. It never occurred to me how people actually sounded until I saw that Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends episode where Wolverine was Australian for some inscrutable reason.
That was weird, wasn't it? It was like a sort of a squeaky Australian voice, too.
I'm like, oh.
Like a real nasal. Like,
people have voices.
Like, good day, yeah?
Yeah.
That's all special. I'm like,
so I would, it didn't even occur to me. Really. If I saw a big guy, I would just like, oh, they probably sound like a monster man.
Like they all sound like Grodd the Gorilla or something? Like,
yeah. Blah, blah, blah,
blah. I always thought he would have had a sort of, when I was a kid, because he would say stuff like, oh, my stars and garters, you know?
Yeah.
So I always kind of thought he had a little bit of a southern thing going on or something, because that always reminded me of something like a southern belle would say.
He sounds like Charles Nelson Reilly.
Or something, you know, something, because like, oh, my stars, or something, you know, like, I was wondering. I popped in
my head. He sounds like Lindsey Graham.
Oh, don't say that. That's just insulting. But, anyway. So yeah, I'll be talking more about the New Defenders as I get further into it, because I just started it today. I read the first couple issues of like 121 and 122 or something like that. And that's where I'm at. But I'm kind of looking forward to it. I mean, not kind of. I am looking forward to it. It's been a long time since I've read the New Defenders stuff. And that was one of those comics that, for whatever reason, had a pretty big impact on me when I was a kid.
Groovy.
The cool thing, too, about these Epic collections, is besides the just the issues, collecting like the run of issues, they include some of the specials and stuff, too. For instance, like in one of them, the Gargoyle miniseries is in one of them. Another one's got the... was it Beauty and the Beast mini?
That I did have.
You remember that? That was it was Dazzler and Beast crossover.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's also one of the books has like there was an Iceman 4-issue mini.
Yep, I have that too.
And that's in one of them too. So like mm-hmm. I think that's a nice cool adjustment because that stuff came out like during those runs. So and they put them in. I think they put them in like date order, like where it would have occurred in a run or whatever.
Yeah, they used to do that.
So I think it's just pretty cool for a collection. You're not just getting that series, you're getting related stuff to that.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing about these Epic collections, and they even say it on the inside, they don't put them out in a chronological order.
Mm.
So like they
Why
might
not do that?
Say what?
Why they not do that?
I'm guessing they're focusing on more popular story arcs and then putting out the other stuff for the completists or something. Because from what I'm seeing, like, you know, they could put out Volume 6 before they ever put out Volume 1 kind of thing. Which leads me to think that they're concentrating on what they're going to consider, like, maybe runs that had other popular characters in them or just were, like, well-regarded as far as storyline went or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's strange or unusual, anyway, that to see something not published out of order like that. Like, and I'm wondering too, like, Epic isn't a label anymore. Well, I mean, Epic doesn't put stuff out as Epic anymore, does it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because these Epic, when I saw them, like, on the front, they just say Epic Collection and, like, Helvetica or something up at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I guess they just meant that they're Epic, like, big. Because they are, they collect a bunch of stuff, you know, so I thought they just meant Epic like that. But then when I flip the book over, I see this, the Epic logo is on the back, and I guess they're using the Epic imprint to put these out.
Huh.
And I'm wondering if that's just a way of keeping the Epic imprint alive, like, for some reason. Because does Marvel have a thing like Epic now?
No.
A separate division label or whatever?
I don't know why I'm coughing.
Maybe it's really dry in there.
Yeah. For some reason, my entire basement's like covered in dust, like the floor.
Are you shedding skin?
I don't think I'm worried.
It's all coming from you. It's just poofing off of you in waves. You are Dustman.
What?
You are Dustman. The Duster.
Dust Devil.
Yeah.
Springfield.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I don't know. That's just... Right. At least I'm reading comics, still.
Yay for you.
And again. I think that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
I like comics. I just don't read them as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read a new, like a current comic in a long time.
Me neither.
Last time I tried was when Marvel did their reboot thing. Again. A year or two ago.
Hmm.
With the X-Books, I mean. Where they rebooted all the X stuff. And after reading a few issues and I just decided it wasn't for me, and then I haven't really picked anything up new since then. But that's okay, because we've got so many comics from the past to dig into, you know?
That's true.
I mean, even if you're not reading current stuff, you've got a wealth of things that you can find that will probably entertain you. So, that's one good thing about comics having been around for so long.
That's true. That's real true.
Yeah.
That's the That's the truth.
You know what I'm saying, man? Like, yeah. Okay, yeah. Now, this is just dumb. Sorry. Another list I saw of grunge bands actually does list Blind Melon as a grunge band.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, right. What? Blind Melon, how are they a grunge band?
Oh, you know how they're grungy.
It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, how they're super grungy.
And here's a band listed as being a grunge band before they were, like, disbanded before grunge was even a thing. Also never heard of them. A band called Cat Butt?
Cat Butt?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Cat Butt.
Crap.
But, anyway. Mike, do we have any email?
Crap.
Oh, come on. Bush was not a grunge band.
Oh, it definitely got put in that for some reason.
They were like a radio rock band. How?
I'm sorry, man.
That just doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't. I agree.
It's miscategorization.
Yep.
By golly. And while you're looking up email, I'm going to see what's in stores this week. This is Wednesday. Wow, I'm actually calling you on a Wednesday. Pardon me. I think it's a little dry in my house. Man.
Is there dust everywhere on the floor? Is there dust on your floor? That's the thing.
Probably, yeah. When was the last time you changed your furnace filter?
I just did before we talked.
How long had it been before that? Maybe that's why it's so dusty.
Not that long. We're getting our furnace replaced on Friday.
Oh, yeah. It shouldn't be that old, should it?
Was it it's old enough.
I thought your whole building was just rehabbed, like, not long before you moved in.
Not the whole building, no.
Oh, okay. So,
No email. Nobody wanted us to have email.
Well, that's a shame. That's really a shame. Maybe we should just start making up our own emails. Sending them to ourselves and reading them. That's kind of like when you're in school and you know, you could buy those Valentines to have delivered to somebody in class. And, like, you knew you weren't going to get one, so you buy one for yourself. Just so you didn't look like a total loser. But then everybody really knew that you were buying it for yourself because nobody knew anybody would buy it for you anyway. So, yeah.
The fuck are you talking about?
I don't know, but there's a book in stores this week called Cat Shit.
What?
Yeah, it's from Antarctic Press. It's called Cat Shit Volume 1 Trade Paperback. Who is this by? Why is there a book called Cat Shit? Let's see. Motofumi Kobayashi.
Motofumi?
Oh, it's a... I guess this is a well-known thing. They make it out like it's a well-known thing. It's a war manga. Huh. Well, it's called Cat Shit. There you are. I learned something new that I didn't know before. This reminds me, because there's an Expanse comic in stores this week, but so I got caught up and watched all the way to the end of the season of The Expanse. And apparently the guy playing Alex is a shit in real life.
Yeah, they were talking about it at the studio.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about that until all of a sudden, you know, spoilers, if you haven't got caught up on, you know, you might want to skip next minute. But yeah, the Alex character gets killed off, and I'm like, what? He didn't get killed off in the books, you know? I'm like, what's going on here? And so I went and looked it up, and that's when I found out that I was like, you know, I guess he was a harasser and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, that sucks, because he played his character role likable and stuff, you know? Like, it's one of those things. Would have never thought it. This is weird. Stranger Things had a Dungeons & Dragons crossover.
Yeah, I heard about that, too.
This is the first I'm hearing about it, and it's the last issue of the mini. Oh, well, this is cool. David Beck's got a cover on there.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. It looks like, that's funny, it looks like one of the old manuals, like the old D&D manuals.
Oh, that's really awesome.
Yeah. Cool. For anybody listening, David Michael Beck used to do G.I. Joe covers, and that's how we knew him.
He's an awesome guy.
Yep. Really good guy. He's a really good painter, too. So. I don't mean, like, of houses. I mean, like, picture painter. Picture page is picture page. Wow. Sorry. Again, I'm always struck when I see something out that's got, like, the entire alphabet of covers. Like, literally from A to Z. That's a lot of covers, man.
People say they don't like them, but that's how people make money now.
It seems like it's swinging back. It goes through cycles, I've noticed, like, since I've been into comics. Where it gets to ridiculous stages, like I said, A to Z of covers.
Yeah.
For every issue of a project or whatever. And then, I don't know if there's just some sort of, like... I mean, I guess it's backlash, right? Because then it shrinks back down where, maybe two covers or one cover for a while. And then it creeps back up again, and then it, like, shrinks back down. And I've seen it go through those cycles a handful of times since, like, even since I've been working in comics. Oh, and you know what's weird? I read, it was kind of a look back article on 80s stuff making a comeback in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really strange to see somebody currently analyzing something you worked on 20 years ago.
What? Really?
Say what?
Really?
You don't find that weird when you see something like that?
I haven't seen anything like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, because of the G.I. Joe thing was the first of the wave of 80s properties that made that comeback, the first article was about that.
Oh, interesting.
I think it was the first article. But yeah, I mean, it was talking about that because it was, talked about that, and then they were talking about, like, the Transformers comeback, and those were kind of the two that spearheaded everything. And just the weird fact that the day after 9/11, that's when our first issue came out. That was, like, just weird. But, I just find it strange to, like, see somebody go back and kind of just review and analyze things like that. It just feels weird. I know it's not objectively weird. It just feels strange. So, yeah. There's that. Image. Do you know anything about a book called Haha?
No, I've heard of it though.
It's a funny sad clown series for a funny sad clown world.
I bet it's not that funny.
I don't know.
Is it funny?
I don't know. I mean, do you think clowns are funny?
I do not think clowns are funny.
Neither do I, so I probably would not think that, the book was very funny. I mean, it might be funny. I don't know. I guess if it's written funny. So after we got done talking, I actually looked up pictures of Thora Birch on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
She is frightening on that show.
She's frightening? Is she a bad guy?
I'm not sure. I don't really know anything about her character. I was just looking at pictures, but at first she shows up in a skin mask. And stuff.
Oh, then she is. She's one of those bad guys.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, she looks just scary as hell, even without the mask on. Like, just the way they got her face made up.
Wow.
And, like, she just got these, like, dead eyes and stuff. And, man, it's pretty creepy. Because I've never seen her look like that. Yeah, so, anyway. Okay, I guess I don't have anything in stores. I don't see anything that looks familiar from anybody we work with in stores. Or particularly, I mean, I'm sure there is that I probably just missed, but that's okay, because you can still get back issues of stuff in your local comic shop. I guess, most comic shops still keep back issues of stuff, right? If nothing else, there might be trades. Oh, when's the Grumble trade out? Is that this week?
24.
Okay. The Grumble trade will be coming out next week. Then. Sorry, I'm stretching. I hurt. I hurt so bad.
I hurt.
I pain. Pain is all.
Pain is all.
Everything is pain, and then you die. So, anyway. So, Grumble will be in store next week. Volume 2? Is that what it is? Or Volume 3?
It's Volume 3.
Volume 3.
Memphis and Beyond the Infinite.
Memphis and Beyond the Infinite.
It mostly takes place beyond the Infinite. Memphis is just the beginning of it.
Memphis is just the beginning of it.
So, Memphis is in there all through the whole thing. And so is the Nashvillian.
Nashvillian.
Not really enemies. They're the opposite. Spoilers.
Well, loving is fighting. Or fighting is loving.
Mm.
That was taught to us by a G.I. Joe fan early on. Anyway. All right, then. Well, you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. You can read the original incarnation of Battlepug up at battlepug.com. And did I say there was art at cadencecomicart.com?
Yeah, I've got I'm taking commissions starting today.
Oh, so Mike's got commissions open.
List of 10 that I'm taking. So.
And are those booked through Cadence Comic Art?
Yeah, so yeah, I go there. There's a thing on the site where you can do it.
Okay, so yeah, go to Cadence Comic Art and book yourself a commission slot. Mike does good stuff. And I guess that's it for this week, so yeah, stay warm. It's cold all over the place, man.
Yeah, it's real cold. I got a heater in here, and I have two humidifiers, because I'm trying, because I don't want the guitars to dry out.
And weirdly, it's not just the Midwest and the South and that. I mean, people from Oni have been in without power for days and stuff.
Well, it's the places where this doesn't happen.
I that makes sense, because, I mean, probably their infrastructure is not really equipped handle this.
That's why Texas is fucked up right now.
Yeah, the buildings aren't built to take this kind of cold and stuff.
I thought Portland did get snow, but apparently they don't get it like this. So.
Yeah, because, I know, Charlie Chu was posting pictures of, you know, his house 40 degrees with no electricity and stuff, that they were having to live there for a few days. So, I was talking to Ryan Brewer from Image Comics. He's in the production department, and he was asking me for some files from a project, and he's like, yeah, we've been without power for a while. He's like, I'm running between places where I can charge up, and you know, we're working at like half capacity.
Yeah, so that shit's insane.
Yeah, and it's all over, and I hope, you know, if you're affected by this, I hope you're safe and you keep them warm and stuff, so.
You know, I hope that the upside to this is that people, stuck at home for a week or so, makes the COVID numbers drop.
That would be a silver lining.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not a scientist, and that probably won't happen.
You know, this ties in with an article I just recently read, too, because normally situations like this, you'd see a rise in births, you know, roughly 9 months later. Just, you know, because people are cooped up and don't have anything else to do, and it's like kind of a crisis thing. But I just read a recent article that was talking about, you know, what with the pandemic and everything, there's more and more people are questioning whether or not they should actually have kids. you know, bring a kid to this world kind of thing.
Well.
So,
person to talk about that.
It's just, I wonder, I guess we'll see. I mean, we might get statistics, you know, 9 months from now that say directly due to a, you know, the weather events of this, that all of a sudden there's a surge in births again. But, yeah. Anyway, sorry, I'm dragging this on. Everybody take care. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Goodbye.